He said, where are you guys off to? I said, oh, we're heading back to the unit. And Taylor went, well, Will's not. He's just driven down the A1.
Hello. Welcome back to the 18th Cream podcast. Again, we just keep on going.
They keep coming.
Thing. But again, at the beginning of every one of these podcasts, we ask if cars rule everything around me, you, us, they, or not. Or ruin.
That's the word.
That's the other word. The opposite of rule. So, do you know what? I'm kicking this off with Ben.
Oh, here we go, Ben. Because
there's been a recent addition.
Sorry, can we just do your Will? I'm Edwin. And Ben behind the camera.
Hello.
Lovely, thank you. Off of you, Ben. Is it rule or ruin?
Oh, it's ruin.
Oh, why is that?
Why is that? Well, my X5 is very high up. And I'm very confused as to why.
He's a very tall guy.
Yeah, well, it has a suspension issue, level sensor, so he just doesn't know
now
how high to be.
Out of interest, was the suspension issue there when you bought it from the previous owner?
Oh, yes.
It was.
How long have I had the car for?
Did the previous owner tell you about that issue?
He did, but I think he was a bit shady with it. Oh. He actually has a part number he needs to give me, but keeps putting off doing it.
Sorry. It's very, very simple part number to find. Ben's like...
And oh, sorry, why am I changing?
Can you search it?
Just out of interest,
me?
Why am I changing the sensor again?
Because it's faulty.
Is it because it already had a broken one and you replaced it with the wrong part?
Exactly.
Which you researched yourself. So how easy is it to find?
To be clear,
if
this is your first Cream podcast, Ben bought the car off of Will.
Yes,
so hence why there is a bit of infighting going on.
But no, it's
your
fine.
Your car looks idiotic.
Well, basically what's happened is I've had that car for 3 months. I've done 6,000 miles on it with this issue the whole time. And I thought after a while, he's going to get upset eventually. But basically, it just doesn't know what height to be at.
You know, it looks like a car from Drag Racer V3.
It has been very low on one side, which is where the sensor is. And then last night I went to Tesco's and I walked out of Tesco and I thought, that looks a bit odd. And now it is at max height on the rear. It looks ridiculous. That's what the chassis is coming off of the wheels.
Someone's been playing with the tuning sliders.
Yeah, so...
Someone fitted race suspension to it on Forza and went, you know what? Jack up the rear.
Lower the front, jack up the rear. We're drag racing, boys.
It made the 0-60 go down, so it's like, yeah, I'm wrong with it.
It's a really weird drive. Because I noticed it last night on the way to Tesco's, but I didn't look at the car, where for some reason my seat felt weird. I was just driving, I was like, this just feels different to normal. It turns out the rear is like four inches higher
also,
than it should be.
You're just rear-wheel drive currently.
Yep.
And it's now raked forwards. You should be able to get a nice skid going.
That is, yeah. You are drifting.
Little lift off, get the weight going. You should be good.
Is it a rule or a ruin?
Oh, it's a ruin.
You said it's a ruin.
Because now I have... Before it was just... I had a little thing on my dashboard, a little bit low on one side, fine. Now I just have a car that is a bit odd to drive.
Do you struggle to get... Like, can you get up into it at that height?
Oh, no, I'm very short. Well, I mean, you should know because you're shorter than me.
Oh, God. There is a constant fight between Ben and Will about who is shorter, and they just have refused to ever measure each other so that the joke may continue.
I have to give Ben a little leg up to get into the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
Because both of these guys, the joke is both being away over Christmas, helping Father Christmas make presents.
the X5 isn't very happy. I need to fix it, but no one will send me the part number, so I guess I'll just have a higher car at the back.
I mean, also crazy. Imagine doing that. Being like, I'm not going to do the research. I can't find it. I'm just going to wait until someone does it. Just asking random people in the street. Mate, have you got that part number I need?
Well, it's because Will offered, and I called him last week.
Have you done anything to go out of your way to search for
No.
it? Have you even just gone on Google?
Why would
gone,
I do that?
Even if you typed the word sensor into Google, you would at least start
I don't
down
know what
some
it is.
Rabbit hole.
Also, you have the information.
It's a rear level sensor.
But
rear right level sensor. For a BMW X5 E53 generation, your car in particular is 2005.
And I know all those details. My thing is...
Can someone in the comments do it?
No.
Let the boy learn.
You have the information. Just send me a number.
No, don't.
You said it to me before.
Right.
I've lost
no
the
one sends Ben... I'm not sending it.
No one in the comments sends it.
Ben must find the sensor.
I'm not doing it.
Ben's going to fit like an IKEA chair instead.
Do you know where you can find it? Just right at the end of the first three Fast and Furiouses. Once you've watched those, you'll find the number.
If I watch the first Fast and Furious, will you do it for me?
Do you want to? No. actually, yes, but only if you give a full review of the film afterwards.
Okay. And you have to fit it as well.
No, thanks. Do you want a hint?
Yep.
Go to Real OEM.
The best site in the world.
Now, that will help you.
Does this really exist?
But also
no.
Not help you.
Can you go to BMW Wheel Styles and then click... click on a random wheel style and just keep scrolling photos.
Just see what comes out.
For those of you that know, you know.
This is a great UI. There we go.
That's the one, Ben.
Yeah, but
Ben,
that's what also, you want is function.
Ben, we're on a podcast and you're scrolling on your phone. This doesn't work, right, for the
some
listeners.
People watch on YouTube.
Great.
Most and of, you can some... watch on Spotify and video, he didn't know. Yeah.
So,
you can.
Overall, it's a ruin for Ben.
Yes.
But self-inflicted. William?
I'm just going to go with rule because nothing's really changed. There is a slight element of ruin because the Clio is still outside and I haven't touched it. Another element of ruin because I've had someone offer me a cool car this week and that's miles away and has lots of bits with it, but I'm not sure it can happen. But I think overall, rule.
We're not going to talk about that car until it maybe happens?
I don't want to say too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to let anyone else get the jump.
Until there is a yes or no on the deal.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It is, for me, ruin.
Ooh,
because
why this?
Oh, because of what's behind us.
Ah, of course.
So I mentioned a few podcasts before. My girlfriend's been looking for a Fiat 500 Bath. It had to be black. Lots of you messaged, but it's very specific. It has to be specific. And she said, I've got a budget of like $3,500-$4,000. Can you find one? And she got bored because we went and looked at multiple and they were all dodgy. They were all like, they had been written off and they hadn't declared it until we ran a check and that sort of stuff. So I said to her, there's one coming up at Copart soon. And she said, look, that's for you to
she
do.
She said, whoa.
Yeah, she said, wait. And I bought it. I said, what do you want to pay up to on this? She said, $1,500, I guess. So no idea what a car is worth on Copart. And I just said, give me a number and I'll bid to it. And we did.
$4,000?
And we won it for £1,400 and it is behind us. And all that it was in the ad is they said someone smashed the window and broke the ignition lock. It's an attempted theft car, or stolen recovered is what they call it. It arrived here on Saturday. I've never been inside such a dirty car in my life.
I am now due an illness.
It's actually crazy how disgusting the inside of this car is. So we've just spent the whole of today cleaning it out just to make it safe enough to even touch now. So I'm a little worried. Also, they've bent the door to get in, so I've bought a new door.
I was just thinking about that. This just entered my mind now, that they smashed and bent the passenger door.
Yes. So if I get, I don't know if it was parked up against something or, because they put something in the top of the door frame and then pulled it back, which I think is what smashed the window.
Yeah.
And then I assume the alarm went off. So they were like, well, we've got to be quick now. Jumped in, broke the ignition lock.
Yeah.
I don't think anything, they got far. I don't think they got anywhere in it. So yeah. So now I have to. We've pulled the whole interior out today. I'm going to replace it with some cloth after this podcast finishes. I'm going to go and get in the car and go and buy some cloth interior because it had leathers and that can't run for her. So yeah, it's ruined because it's worse by a good margin than I expected.
But if you can fix the major issue, there's hope.
Oh, absolutely. There's still going to be, it's still going to be a very cheap car and I've got some plans to make it look nice. It's going to look good in the end. Ben is looking smug behind the camera. He's found the part number.
And I found on Amazon on Prime delivery next day, and it's a Chinese part.
Okay, I'd like to put money on the fact that is not the correct part.
Yeah, can I just see it from a distance?
It's correct.
The viewers don't need to see this.
This is such a stupid thing to be doing on a podcast that people are listening to in the car.
I mean, it looks correct, but it also looks like the one I fitted, which was wrong. There are very minor differences. We will speak. See me after the podcast.
See me after the podcast.
Okay, cool. So that's our week. As always, let us know your rule or ruins in the comments. You can leave your comments on YouTube where you're watching this, or Spotify. You can watch us and listen to us on there if you're in the car, perhaps. William, do we have some news?
We do. Ben has put a piece of news in here. I'd like to, because I think you're happy about it, I would like to contest you on this news.
Ooh, you're not happy about this.
Please announce this news. It's about Volvo.
Can you say it how you wrote it in our document?
Yes. Volvo is making square boys again.
Great.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Because I haven't
there
heard
was a, There were spy shots from Nürburgring of Volvo testing what are a new saloon and a new estate, but they're like 740 spec where they're just square.
Interesting.
Imagine, you know the new, what are they called? Is it Kia or Hyundai? One of them that makes those really futuristic looking ones.
Yeah, okay.
It's like those sorts of headlights, like sort of...
like a Hyundai.
Sort of retro looking ones, yeah, but in square. Yeah. Oh, cool.
You know what? Ben's a great describer. His descriptors are great. Imagine like a square boy.
Imagine like a square. Okay, square, imagine... 90 degree angles. And
is it
such.
A Hyundai or a Kia?
Which I'm fairly sure it's the Hyundai.
Okay, like imagine a Hyundai, but he is square.
Great. This is... you know what?
That's everyone in the car right now went, ah.
Everyone in there went,
What the hell is he talking about?
That? Is that just any car but square? Anyway.
Okay.
My beef with this is that there'll be lots of people going, wow, look at this return of Volvo being boxy. It looks the same as the Jag thing.
Oh, see, that's what I was going to ask, because in my head, when you said the square thing, I can see that Jag shape, that square thing. It looks like that.
Jag did it, and everyone went, you stupid idiot. Who would design that? And then Volvo do it. And you go, that's actually all right, actually.
But it wasn't that the Jag has a sloping back?
Yeah, it's a bit more like a square. But this is sort of, I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
The thing is,
maybe it's a new era of design I'm not on board with.
I like a lot the last generation of Volvo wagons. Is it V90?
V90 is one of the best looking
that is a
regular
sick
cars.
Looking thing.
Yeah, bit policey.
Yeah, but like just cool. Just a really cool car. Every time I see them on the road, I'm like, I could make you look good.
It's just nice.
Loads and a bit of space. My belief is that a testament of true like good car design is that the only thing to make it look perfect is loads and spaces.
Mm.
Like even the standard wheels, usually I'm not a standard OEM wheel person, but even what was it? R design, whatever the top spec V90. That was a little bit lower with some spaces. That is perfection.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Nice. It's just because they haven't added angles and random.
No.
Well, you know what? I think we'll stick massive grills. I mean, the grills aren't small, but I mean,
there's nothing that needs, it's classic Volvo. Yeah. We're not going to put anything on there that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
It's just a smooth, nice design.
It looks like a villain's car from a movie. The black saloon, which we'll put on the screen now, that looks like a baddie's car, an animated movie.
Oh, all right, mate.
That's the Chinese knockoff Rolls Royce.
That is a child that has drawn that car. It looks like AI.
That saloon is rough.
I like that very much.
No, I like saloons, but that rear door going into that rear roof shape isn't right.
Which is exactly what I get wrong when I draw a car. Yeah. I draw the shape of the car, that's easy.
The front's
and then
nice.
Where the door has to go. Yeah. Where does the door go? That's what's happened there.
Why does the door touch the rear wheel, but the roof goes behind it? That's
if you open the door on my drawing, there'd be nothing.
The roof falls off.
You just see the wheel.
You see, I think the estate looks more like more Jag spec than the other one.
The estate is moderate. It's coming like a Stagia or a Stagia.
Yeah, Stagia. Like yeah. Surely the thing that's doing that, making it look Jag spec, is the lights, because they look like the same lights. You know what? Do you know what? I'm going to say something though. The rear of the wagon. That's an Evo 9 wagon right there.
Yeah, I was thinking. Also, it looks quite similar to the lights they have on like the new, the previous gen of the Wall.
I don't know what it is. There are some Volvos. I remember seeing semi recently. People in the comments can comment the name of it. EX30. It's the minivan Volvo.
Ah, I remember you showing me this.
I don't know what it is. I couldn't care less about a minivan. I mean, it is simply not a car I would ever care about in any way, shape, or form. But I saw the reveal photos. Thought, that looks cool. And then saw the interior. God, I would rock one of those.
Yeah, I wasn't interested. Then you showed me the interior. And I was like, you know what?
Veto spec.
I don't know how I'd be in the back of my own car.
But
EM90.
EM90, that's it. Go look that up. That is a sick thing. And I don't think we get them in the UK. I think they're only Europe. I might be wrong. But that, you know what? Volvo's, because the Polestar? They're technically not the same. I know Polestar and Volvo, but they are.
I think they are. I don't like the new ones.
No, but what's the convertible thing?
Oh, the Polestar Roadster thing.
The Roadster. That's so. We saw it at Goodwood. Remember? It's a concept. But God, that's whoever's designing them gets it.
Polestar I really liked, and then I saw one of like the newer ones, and they've just gone in. Hey, let's make this square
Tesla
and look like a Tesla or a Chinese whatever.
That's the thing I don't like about electric car stuff. I guess it comes from Tesla. I was thinking about this the other day. When they started, they had to go, we need like a strong brand. So every car needs to look the same so that you subconsciously go, I know what a Tesla looks like. But like Polestars, the two is the normal one that you see a lot. And now the three perhaps.
There's a four as well.
Maybe it's the four. They've just gone, okay, take the two, but stretch the boot up a bit.
Yeah.
Now stretch the roof down. It's the same car.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Volvo and Polestar design, what I like about it is its minimalism. But it's like nice minimalism. Tesla minimalism is empty everything and put the bare essentials in. Whereas like Polestar is like, let's just make, why isn't that just not a bit of wood? And that's just a nice little.
What is it? Minimalism is a con sold by big, small to sell more big.
More or less.
Something like that.
Sell more or less.
I'm very, very confused. But I don't like the saloon. The estate looks good. A child drew the saloon.
Yeah, I can hear that. Now that I've actually had a up close look, that's, something ain't right.
You know what? We'll have a look when it comes out. Volvo, mate, send it over. We'll do a little review.
But aren't most old Volvo saloons just square like that?
No, but they at least have, there's like a sharp angle, whereas it's too rounded on that corner, on that edge. It's the reason why 36 to me, E36 saloon is the best shape, or an Evo 5. Like, look at the way that the proportioned Will has got his Tamiya. Is it Tamiya?
Tamiya.
Tamiya Evo 5 rally car here. Have a look. Look at the proportions of that guy. You have a chunk of the bonnet at the front, a section of doors, and then a stubby boot at the back with the angle kind of looking similar. I know nothing about car design. I'm sure there's a word of or a reason for it. But the way that shape of that is, that's car.com. That's saloon.com.
Maybe they're just like cutting costs and they just looked at a child and went, yeah, maybe they can design cars.
Maybe we can hire them.
I'll send you my designs.
But either way, good job. Bring them back. Send them back.
Also, good job just not making everything look exactly the same as everything else. At least you'd see that and go, I understand.
That's I know, it, yeah.
Or Jack. The only other piece of news I've written down is about an Austrian tuning company has fitted a 4-litre twin turbo V8 into a new C63. So confirming that it fits. So,
okay, yeah, because they claimed the reason it wouldn't work is
I think it was mainly like emission stuff and it's whatever, but obviously, so they can fit it in there. I don't know how, like, it's a tuning company, so I'm assuming they've done a fairly good job.
Because they still sell that 4-litre V8
in other things, right?
So it's not like they couldn't get it past emissions.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mercedes, yeah, so we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah. Wait, it's 600 and something horsepower, everyone.
I simply do not care.
I don't care. Does it have a V8 in it?
Yeah.
Cool. Then I'll buy it.
It seems you've put half the V8 in there. I don't care.
I'd be very interested to know what the sales number. I just don't think I've seen one.
Yeah, that's
it. Might be because I don't understand Mercedes, and when I see a Mercedes, I go Mercedes.
Yeah, that's possible.
A Mercedes.
If you work in a Mercedes dealership or hire up at Mercedes, not even from an aspect of like to laugh at you. Yeah. I just want to know.
Yeah,
like because I thought the same thing when the F80. No, how do I still mix these up? The pig nose M4
G80.
G80. You don't mind them now. I still hate them. But when they came out, I was like, they're not going to sell. You're not going to see them. They're everywhere.
They're just everywhere.
They have sold. Yeah. They've sold well. But I would like to know, if you work at Merck or you know, AMG, I guess you work at, what are the year-on-year or month-on-month sales looking like of the four-cylinder AMG C63 versus the last gen, if you know? Because that would be interesting to see.
I just don't see any new Mercedes that are like any new AMG cars. I think I've only ever seen one or two new A45s. I haven't seen a new SL63 yet.
I have seen one of those.
I saw one of the GT63 four-door things. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen a facelift one of those. I feel like, are they just not selling them? What's going on?
Well, I wonder. I think it's market to market. Like, I think their hold in America is going to be much higher than it is here. Like, England is, we're BMW gang. When it comes to like performance cars, mm-hmm. I think M cars outsell the AMG, not like A45s, obviously. Yeah. There's bread and butter hatchbacks.
Oh, they BMW have that now.
Yeah, but then what?
What is it?
135i?
It's like a Golf R.
Yeah.
A35, really, spec.
135i, is that? Is back to 135?
Or is it? It's a 140, I think, isn't it?
Is it? I hate them. I just hate them. They're so ugly.
Yeah. I think, again, if it wasn't the BMW, I might
exactly,
take it.
Yeah. The Mini, yeah. I'm okay with. Yeah. Mini's kind of cool, but it is your sacrilege. Mm. You ain't him.
You're not that guy, pal.
You're not that guy. So short bit of news this week.
Yeah, short bit of news. I mean, again, there's other news, but we don't care about that news. I mean, we have news about what we've been doing. We have just been on an adventure.
Great.
Just yesterday. If you follow the YouTube channel, the Top Dead Center YouTube channel that we are on, you will have probably seen this, but we'll tell a little extra.
Yes.
A little detailed story what happened yesterday. So we bought some 90s hot hatches, which are particularly, how you say?
Tinkered with.
Tinkered with. A little bit scabby. Rough around the edges.
Yeah.
You know, they're not exactly, you know,
you probably
prime
want,
examples.
You probably want to treat them with kid gloves, but we absolutely do not.
Someone else built them 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, we've done a full series on it, blah, 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 fixed, modified, fixed. And then we thought, you know what? Final video, we're going to a track, and then we're going to go to Southend. We're going to go Southend and see the lights, mate.
And you need to explain for non-UK viewers, why Southend?
Southend used to be. They do stuff there still. There is still meats there. So Southend is the sea. It is a British seafront.
And what do they call it? Southend on sea.
On sea. Yeah, it makes sense.
English town names?
I wouldn't quite call it on the sea.
I call it next to it.
I call it sort of near the sea.
I guess it's not in the sea, so I guess they are.
The Southend in the sea, that is a problem. So Southend has like a beachfront. It's quite similar to a lot of places in the UK. You have Blackpool, beachfront, ice cream, old people, probably some litter, seagulls, some neon lights,
and a
2p machines.
And coin machines.
Yeah, so you got lots of that. And that's what Southend is, but it was very, because it's Essex Way.
Mm.
And Essex was big on the old modified car scene. It was very, very popular for either a start or end point for cruises and people basically, because it's a strip.
Yeah.
There is a strip down the seafront and people racing up and down, police not happy, old people not happy. But we thought, you know what, we're going to go there. And it does look, at night,
it's kind of cool.
We did get there.
In the end.
How long did that take us?
Well, I explained it earlier when someone walked in. We were 40 minutes away from Southend-on-Sea at 1 p.m. We made it to the pier at 9:30 p.m.
That was nice.
So
was it traffic?
No, none of traffic. It was the Corsa blowing up.
It was the Corsa blowing up. So we had a little plan where we wanted to, before we got to Southend, we thought, you know what, let's find some driving roads nearby. Did that. I saw the, we weren't actually filming properly at the time. I saw national speed limit sign and I thought,
he was coming.
It's time for a limiter bash.
Of course.
And I gave it the big limiter bash in the Corsa. And then I just heard, steam came from my front left headlight, which was bizarre, and then just crap all over the windscreen. I turned the car off immediately.
Yeah.
Put it in neutral, just rolled to a stop behind you because you'd obviously seen it. And I thought, I was quite upset because I was like, if this is engine gone, I'll be very, very annoyed.
Yeah.
But yeah, opened the bonnet and coolant was absolutely everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was, because that was an explosion on the limiter.
Yeah, oh,
so
yeah.
It had gone everywhere.
Ultimate pressure.
It was all outside, all on the outside of the car. The engine bay is covered. It's just a mess. So that car blew a heater matrix hose.
Yeah.
Which is basically what goes through the bulkhead and what basically gives you a heating in the car.
Yeah.
So
luckily it wasn't inside the car that it blew, but it blew
otherwise that
between the matrix and the block of the engine.
So when we saw that, we were like, okay, this is doable.
It's fixable.
We can fix this. But the problem with that is a Corsa from the 90s, but with a Saab engine in it.
Yeah.
So there are lots of parts that don't, you know, you can't just go to your local Eurocar parts or wherever and say, have you got this part? It's either a custom bit or someone that, there's lots of parts on that car where it's a Corsa with a Saab engine and someone's fitted something from a Ford
or a Peugeot.
It's just a part that fits.
Yeah.
So this hose is bigger at one end than it was at the other. So we couldn't just get a hose.
Yeah, which is not common.
We went on just the biggest of quests. I'd love to say we wrote it.
Yeah, no, it would be great to script it.
But we just didn't.
So long story short, in trying to fix the car, which was parked at a pub, you rented a set of pliers for £40.
Yep.
When we went to return it, we met a subscriber who I jokingly asked, do you have coolant pipes for a Saab Swap Corsa? He offhandedly joked and went, no, I sell and work on MX-5s. And then my brain went, hold on, the heater core in an MX-5 is the same as the outlet on that Corsa. So I went, do you have parts? He went, yeah, come on in, have a look. Looked around his units, found offcuts of parts. And we went, there's nothing to reduce this. We need like something metal to reduce it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Viking music was playing throughout this industrial yard. We were like, what is that noise? He was like, oh, that's Michael. He's a welder. He's just around the corner. He just listens to Viking music at max volume. And we're like, a welder, you say? Walked in, introduced ourselves to him. He was understandably confused. I was also wearing an entire Burberry outfit, because of course I am. He couldn't care less and went, all right, I'll make you a reducer pipe.
Yeah.
So he spent a couple of hours while he was making it, bodged it together. It didn't work at first.
No.
I was upset.
Because it's two pieces of pipe going into a metal pipe. Again, all of it bodged together. Like not bodged, but well, it's bodged.
It's bodged. Yeah. The metal pipe wasn't. The welding was lovely.
Yeah, the welding was great. It was the pipe at either end. That was the problem.
Yeah.
And then we started it. It ran, no leak, all good. And then it just started to seep out of both ends of the rubber hose was. How did we cure that? I think...
Well, we didn't have any more Jubilees. So Jay, the videographer, and I, Ben was very luckily at home editing. So we had Jay, our other videographer, helping with us. So we... let's say it was close to Screwfix closing, and it was, let's call it a 15-minute journey, and we had to be there in 10. Starlet did us right. The start. If there was someone out in Essex last night, all they would have heard is just in the background.
Before we get to like the finishing that, Starlet did have a minor issue just after the Corsa.
He did.
Broke down.
The Corsa broke down. I don't think this is in the video because we weren't filming, but Will shut off the Corsa. We opened the bonnet, looked at it, went, okay, right. We said to Will, let it cool down for a second and then just turn it around and just drive it very quickly to the pub that's 100 meters up the road and park in the car park. So Jay and I blocked the road, let Will do that. We then got back in the Starlet. I turned the key and it went a brum and just died. And I was like, what? And Jay went, no. Like you could tell in his voice, he was like, no, not like this, please. And I said to him, I went, nah, this is the Starlet. You just, if you use it hard, he gets better. So I started it up and did a massive pull down the road. And as I got to the pub, I let off the throttle and it went, no. And just turned off. And I rolled it into the pub without any drive up to Will and went, we might have a problem here. Left it for 5 minutes. He was fine.
Yeah, it was good.
He just got a little bit worried about his friend.
It's a much smaller problem than the cause I had.
Yeah.
So Jubilee clips is what you went and got.
Got the Jubilees.
We put 5 Jubilee clips, 3 on one end, 2 on the other.
Yeah.
And started the car, filled it up with coolant, and it was fine.
Yeah.
It looked a bit sketchy. It moved around a lot.
It did.
But we thought if we can keep this under, 3 or 4 thousand RPM, which is great because that gearbox means the gearbox in that car means it cruises at about 3,500 RPM on the motorway. So I was very, very careful. Also, possibly one of the hardest drives I've ever had. Because I've got Edwin in front of me going wah, bah, 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 and smashing it off with it. I've got turbo noises and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'll give you 1 PSI.
Yeah, I can do it.
One of the hardest. Every now and then I'd be like, you know what, maybe 1. But I know it would happen. I'd do that and I just see a pipe burst off. But we did that, fixed it. Seems to be all good.
And then
Michael Legend and Matt Mega, as well, who helped us
with
the parts and everything. Also just being in the local area.
Yeah, if you are in Essex and you need any welding, please actually look up Michael. It's N&M Welding.
N&M Welding, yeah.
Because he dropped everything.
Yeah.
We were saying to Will, I don't know hopefully it's in the video, that's car people.
Yeah.
That is because he's a welder, but not for automotive stuff.
No, yeah.
But we got talking to him while he's there. He was like, old Mark 1 Golfs and stuff. I used to mess around with those.
Yeah.
Like, that's a car person.
Yeah.
You come with a problem and you go, look, I don't know you. We've never met before, but I've got an old 90s thing that needs bodging. And they go, absolutely, I got you.
I was deep in the engine bay with him, just in the trenches, really, with Michael. And then he said, he laughed and said, I'm a mechanic by trade. And I thought he was joking. He went, no, I am. He said, I weld. Welding is like my passion, but as a work, I'm a mechanic. Suddenly I felt a little bit better about the whole situation. I was like,
Michael's going to get us home. And then Matt, the subscriber as well, he was like, so Matt was leaving to go and look at a car for sale, Dubai, saw us, saw that we needed help, cancelled this car that he was going to go look at. And then after like 8 hours of us messing him around, stealing parts of him, he went, can I come with you to Southend in my Skyline? We were like, yeah, you can. Yeah, get in the Skyline.
We're going slowly.
Yeah, we're chilling. Yeah. He had a DR30 Skyline, a GT, it was a GTX turbo.
Yeah.
So the cool one, an iron mask. So we just had a 3-car cruise down to Southend, which is, it's the essence of cars. That is, that's a good story. However, the best part happened on the way home.
Okay.
And I want to take some issue because you might remember a couple of podcasts ago, Will came at me for the amount of cars I owned. And now this week I'm coming at him for his sense of direction.
Here we go.
Will perhaps Crazy. Has the worst sense of direction of any human I've ever met.
Okay, now I'll carry on, but I've got beef with Ben on this.
Of course you do.
I've got beef with Ben on this.
Your sense of direction.
Your passionate agreement there.
Your sense of direction is horrible. This unit we are currently sat in is not very far away from the unit we were in before. And we moved on one day and we drove back and forth about 4 times. And Will could not find the new unit after doing the drive like 10
minutes
before.
That's not true.
It is, though.
That's not true.
It just is, though.
When we were, whenever we were leaving from, I can't remember where it was, we were maybe 10 or 15 minutes from here, and you, Billy Big Nuts, there in the back, were like, I can find my way home from here. I'm not to worry. I said, okay, fine. I know. I said, I can't. I'd use Waze or something. I didn't care. Did you get lost?
No.
Did Edwin have to intervene?
No, hold on. I have to set it up because it's better than that. It's Ben, we're driving down this road, and Ben goes, I could get us home for here. Short argument ensues, maybe 10 to 15 seconds. Yeah. Will goes, well, I don't know where I'm going. I sit in the back, I know how to get us home. So Ben, you're going to direct us from here. I'll tell you if you're yeah. right or wrong. And as the basically, as that sentence ended, we're 200 meters from a junction, a left, just a left and right junction. And Will pulls up at the junction and goes, right then, Ben, which way are we going? And Ben confidently goes, left. And I go from the back, no, it's right.
You've got to crack a few eggs to make an omelette. I would have got us back 100%.
Well, no, I don't think you would have.
Though. We do it now at lunchtime. I say to Will, I go, all right, well, we're going to Subway. And we'll, we go, oh, Will, get, take us there.
I
and
can
he can't
get
do
there.
It.
Jesus Christ. I, only just have just. To, I have to do it a few times.
Well, so last night, the way we set it out, Jay, our videographer, he lives up by Luton.
Yeah.
So we dropped, we basically went in three cars to a services on the M25, which if you're not from the UK, it was probably equivalent to probably hell. It's probably the best comparison. It's the worst road in the world. To drop his car off at a services, and then we'd go in two cars, the Starlet and the Corsa, up to Southend. We got back now at, 10:30? Probably coming up for 11.
Yeah.
Dropped Jay back off his car. He left. It's now just Will and I. It's so late in the day, and Will doesn't have a charger in the Corsa, that Will's phone is dead.
Yep.
So we bought a charger and charged it in the Starlet. My phone, Will's phone, both in the Starlet. Will's got nothing in his car, but we do have radios. We've got walkie-talkies. So we leave the services, and at the first set of lights on the big roundabout under the services, it goes yellow as I'm going through, and Will's a little bit way behind.
No,
and
it's the first rule of convoys.
Now hold on.
I'd say it was late.
No.
I would have told the police about that.
I went through on green. It was still green when I went through it.
Nah. I calculated it.
I stand on business when it comes to convoys. I'm good about that. If it's looking like a semblance of yellow, if he's
But you saw the yellow because you said to me you were sorry.
No, I was sorry because I should have seen how far behind you were. Because, you know, someone was slow in their course, they don't have any boost.
I can't drive fast.
And I was doing pulls. So anyway, I make it through the light, and Will does not. So I radio in and I go, that's tough to see. And I get one back from Will going, yeah, that's tough. So I said to him, straight away, are you going to be fine to make it onto the M25? Now, bear in mind, this is a service. We're not in, you know, in Abu Dhabi with different, you know, there's not ridiculous letters. It's in English.
Yeah.
You can read. And I said, are you going to make it onto the M25? You're going to be fine. And Will went, yeah, I'll be fine. Oh, Taylor's next to me.
I was quite shocked.
11 at night. And I was like, that's weird. Okay. Yeah. So I rung Taylor and I was like, what are you doing here? And he was like, oh, I'm just going to take my trailer to go and pick up a car. And I said, oh, he said, where are you guys off to? I said, oh, we're heading back to the unit. And Taylor went, well, Will's not. He's just driven down the A1.
I thought... I might have to live here now.
And I can't say what I said, but I went, oh, for God's sake. And he went, yeah, he's just got another wrong exit. He's gone onto the wrong bit.
No.
Here's the issue. I laugh and then went, I have Will's phone. Will has no sat-nav. Will has no way of understanding. Because let's be honest, if you're on a road that you've never been before, you're
done for.
You're actually done.
Road signs are the bullshit.
So
they don't say what they mean.
Also, but this is the thing. The floor told you where to go.
Nah, where?
It said M25.
Yeah, but you can go both ways. And the only M25 sign I saw said Potter's Bar. Now, I know, or I'm fairly sure, that I had been past Potter's Bar on the way.
Correct.
I was like, that's the wrong way.
Yeah.
And there was no other M25 sign. And then I saw a sign that said Heathrow. I was like, Heathrow, that's where I want that. I need, if I can get there, I'm roughly in the area where I need to be. And I started going down this road and you said, can you get on the M25? And I saw three lanes. I was still on three lanes for a while. I was like, this just isn't the M25. And I got to a roundabout. I was like, yeah, this is not the M25, is it? So I thought best bet is to go back.
Yeah. So the moment I realized, I put the phone down with Taylor and picked up the radio and went, Will, can you hear me? It was like a movie. I went, Will, if you can hear me, go back to the services. So I raced up the M25 to the next junction, raced all the way back down to get to the services. Again, it was like a movie. I kept going, Will, can you hear me? Will, are you there? And then I heard, Will, you
I thought, you know what? If Edwin's lost me, he may go back to the services, because I was also going back to the services, but somehow I found that. And I was maybe a minute or two in the services, and I just heard on my radio, like, Will, can you hear me? It was like some kind of survival movie,
yeah,
where we've found a bunker and there's, yeah, there's a radio where there's help. Help is coming. And I just got, Will, can you hear me? It's like, I can hear you.
So then, yeah, got back to the services and then went, right, let's stick to each other all the way back. Yeah. So, but somehow, a little coarser, despite all of, you know, everything we put it through.
The most bodged pipe.
Sitting outside right now next to the starlet, they're happy.
Yeah.
And
a couple of bits to...
By
this point, yes.
Next week. Yeah, I think so. Basically, if not, the cars will be... You can win them.
Yeah.
You can win them for...
Both cars.
We're going to put... There'll be two winning tickets.
Yeah.
You can buy one ticket, you can buy a billion. We always say this, and we genuinely mean this. We're doing this because we want someone to have it for the lowest possible entry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you don't have to buy a billion tickets. So lots of people say, oh, well, there's you know, it's pay to win. Yeah, you can buy more tickets if you want, but just buy one. And if you happen to win out on the off chance for 15p, beat the ever loving shit out of those cars, please.
Also, for record, the people that we've met, every time there's a winner, we like to meet them and speak to them. It's just nice to see the person who's winning it, that they have always been a subscriber.
Yeah.
And most of the time, sorry, every single time, it's been
like less than 10
or £15 maximum that they've spent. Maybe less than 10. I think one of them was like £9 or something.
Yeah. Well, I think one of them was 5 tickets
so
at 15p. So
just insane.
Less than a pound.
And again, like as much as we would love to keep all these cars around, it doesn't make any sense because we want to move on to something else. We'll buy two more cars, do another series, and then... Yes, we may end up making another video on those, but they will just sit outside.
Yeah.
We gathering learned dust, whatever.
It's we learned great. It after the 335 and the S3, because at the end of that series, we both really liked them. And we were like, okay, let's keep these and do a V2 and get quicker on them.
Yeah.
Those cars haven't been touched since the day we've done with drag racing. Yeah. Because unfortunately, the way the YouTube is, you can't sit and like just go on a car. It's the reason that you haven't seen, if you're one of the YouTube subscribers, you haven't seen the Zafira yet.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the bigger project that we want to do, but everything is so hectic that it sits for a while because it takes us time to get to it, if that makes sense.
Also, right now the way our schedule is, these cars are done, we want to do another video. The next available time that we have a free slot that we haven't planned out is like the middle of April. So we have like 2 months until then, and then by that time we've got something else that's happened,
or
we get offered an opportunity or whatever. So it just doesn't happen.
That being said, I really, really... I'm gonna miss the Starlet. I'm actually gonna be really sad.
Yeah, the Corsa is actually, I would say, the only car I do, because I don't really get that about cars. But the Corsa on this channel is the only one that I'm gonna be very possibly annoyed when it goes.
I think that for me, it's the Starlet is actually gonna be sadness, because I don't know what it is. The fact that I know it's out there right now and I could go out in it and it would make the silliest noises on earth, and it's not mine, but it's mine in inverted commas. The fact that it will not be there anymore and someone else will have it, I'm going to be really upset. And I said to the guys at SSA when we got the Starlet tuned, I'm going to build a Starlet.
Yeah.
Because that's not my Starlet. There's another Starlet out there that's mine.
Destined.
It is going to, that thing hates to see me coming.
Yeah.
It's going to go, no, no, no.
Yeah.
I was, yo, see the limiter, learn to like it.
See that little red bit on your dashboard?
That's where you're at.
You're going to be sitting there. But yeah, I mean, again, also a massive thank you to anyone who does buy a ticket or for previous ones or these ones. It all goes back into the channel. That's part of the reason why we've been able to buy, we spent almost £9,000 buying those hatchbacks, something that 6 months, a year ago, we would not have been able to do. Basically.
Absolutely not. And
So I'm not saying we're going to end up buying a Rolls Royce next week. It's not the case, but
you know. But you know, that Amarcielago one day. That's your logo one day.
It means we can make, you know, a bigger variety of cars on the
channel. Yeah.
But anyway.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So if you're a long-time listener of the podcast.
First-time caller,
long-time listener. You may have noticed we've begun to rant about things.
And it's usually about the motorway.
It's usually about the motorway and just probably just everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone else, really. We're perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone else is wrong.
Meanwhile, anyone that deals with us on the road, look at those idiots.
Stupid idiot. What are you making that noise for? But we got an email.
Yes. Would you like to read it?
We got an email from a salty man.
Now, here's the thing. in a way, well, let me just read it.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it and Will, you're going to respond. The title of the email is Fast Lane, Slow Lane, which is a great children's nursery rhyme. I feel like Dr. Seuss is about to start spitting bars. Hi, there is no fast lane, and that is on all caps, or slow lane. All lanes on the motorway are maximum of 70 miles an hour when there are no restrictions. Also, they are lane 1, 2, 3, or 4. Read the highway code, please. Tell Alax and his crew as well. Place, stop being dicks and start educating people. That's one of your jobs. That's one of your jobs. Thanks. Sorry for the rant. Flow.
I don't think that's my job.
Yes, absolutely not. Yeah. My job is making bullshit. And,
it's perhaps to entertain, not necessarily to educate.
If you hand me a 2.25-inch aluminum pipe, I'll make a flutter out of it. Yeah. Do not hand me the highway code.
I think the whole point is that you're here to entertain, and if you learn something, that's great, but most of the time you probably won't.
So, William, you feel quite passionate about this.
The email grated on me for a while, and it wasn't until I rented a van. I rented a Luke
out of context TDC. That'll be going in that document.
I rented a Luton van for a house move. Oh, by the way, vans. This was the most basic van, but it had a tail lift.
Yeah.
I was out here tailgating people. I was out here flashing people.
Bread.
It's just so good. Yeah. So good. Anyway, I'm in this van in the fast lane doing the speed limit, actually. It did struggle to the speed limit, but anyway. And I thought.
You were in the what lane?
Sorry, I was.
Lane three, please.
I was in lane 3.5.
I was literally in lane three.
I was in the fast lane where everyone's going faster than everyone else. And I pondered for a second. Because obviously we have a trailer. You see HGVs on the road, lorries and what such. And they're not allowed in that lane.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if it's not a fast lane, or at least a faster lane, then why aren't they allowed in it?
Yeah.
And if you look it up, the reason for that is because they are slower moving vehicles that can't either react as quickly or whatever.
Yep.
So if all the lanes are the same, why can't everyone use all the lanes?
Yeah.
Surely, starting from the left lane, the slow lane, every lane to the right is a fast lane.
Exactly.
Because the person that's in that lane should be going faster than the person in the lane to the left.
Yeah.
Lane. Again, there's probably some wording highway code where someone goes, actually, if you look at code 1.13, that's actually wrong.
The other thing is I do not understand how any offense can be taken to using the word fast lane. It's a colloquial thing.
Yeah.
If you say fast lane, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the outside lane. It's not an instruction. It's not, if I use the word fast lane, everyone goes, so I can do 100. So I can do 150. Yeah,
it's not the unlimited lane.
It's not what it means. It just means that's where most people are doing the overtaking and going around. It's fine to call it
the furthest. The right-hand lanes are the ones you used to overtake. It's the furthest right lane, therefore likely the fastest lane.
Yeah.
And the left-hand lane will be the slowest lane. Therefore, slow lane, fast lane. It all makes sense when you just switch your brain on. It's as simple as that. If you call it lane 4, fine.
Sure, fine.
If you call it lane X, it doesn't matter. Can you please move into lane Y?
I was driving the other day and I got in the egg lane. And some idiot in the ham lane, he cut me up. What's going on there?
Just call it whatever you like. It just, yeah.
Technically, yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
There is no fastest lane.
In a driving test, I'm failing.
Yeah. But realistically, there is a fastest lane. And you know there is. Everyone knows that there is.
You are just a buffoon.
But that is your job, Will, to educate the people.
I'll remember that when I'm on the road.
Will is a teacher.
When you pit maneuver someone, you go, learn your lesson, did you?
Teach him to drive.
Right, that's nice. Shall we swiftly move on to the forum? Every week, well, most weeks, I should say, we've missed one or two. But most weeks, we like to let you guys in the comments, who may not be as automotively inclined as we are, ask a question without judgment to people who are obsessed and cannot be helped anymore. So Benjamin, you have, I believe, a question or two.
I have a question. I have two questions. One of them is an actual forum question.
Always like a double.
The other one is a question towards me and Will.
Oh,
which
okay.
We're going to answer.
Bro took that personally. Bro said, all right, one for me then.
No, I guess it's sports because you live nearby.
What?
Archie, it will all be revealed.
Okay.
Archie Donovan on Spotify. Formal question, how long do you give a car before you admit you really don't like it? I've just bought an R56 Mini Cooper S, and to be honest, a week in, I'm not really clicking with it. Do I stick it out for longer or do I just get rid?
A week in, you know. It's a gut feeling thing.
I don't think I've ever actually had a car I've really disliked.
I think you know the moment, like within the first 30 seconds of driving.
Yeah.
But after a day or two, I think that's your cutoff.
Yeah.
Like the Crossfire, 30 seconds of driving that thing, I do not like this car.
Yeah.
And then after a day or two, I was like, no, this is even worse. Mm. But the Merc, the first time I drove it, I was a bit like, it's not that great. Like when I drove it, because I drove it a good distance home, I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's a car.
Yeah.
And then after a few days, I was like, you know what? I actually do quite like this. This is, he's my guy. So yeah, I think a week, if you're not like it after a week, I don't know that you're going to see, it's seasonal though. That's the other thing.
Mm.
You know, if in summer you might decide, actually, this is kind of coming into its own now, but
it depends what your reason is for not liking it.
True.
Because it could be, it doesn't work. It's very easy to hate something when it doesn't work.
Very fair.
Very, very easy. If it's all functioning perfectly, either you find it boring or you find it, something's not right. You don't fit in it. The seats are whatever it is. Normally, I do the absolute most I can before buying the car.
Yeah, fair.
So normally I roughly know that I'm going to like it before.
Yeah,
which is also a problem because it means you then limit yourself. But almost I have to know I'm going to like this.
If you're not pulling up on YouTube at 2 a.m. watching some random person POV drive the car that you're looking at, you're not doing it
also,
right.
Also, I just don't ever want to be in a situation where I buy a car and then a week or two later I have to sell it.
Yeah.
And you have to tell the person that buys your car, why are you selling it 2 weeks after buying it? And you go, I just don't like it.
I just hate it.
not a good selling point. No. Also, I don't believe you.
Yeah. I just don't want it anymore.
Yeah, it's rubbish. Do you want it?
No, but you should pay me money for it. That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a fair point. I would say if you're a week in, you're not liking it, give it another week.
Car you've hated, that you've owned?
Personally, every subsequent MX-5 after my first one.
Fair.
Because my first MX-5, it is special to me.
Yeah.
It's my it was first ever like project car thing I worked on. And then I bought a silver Mark 2.5 and I was like, it's going to be just like the first one.
Mm.
And all of the veneer of excitement about my first car was gone. And I realized I was sitting in a wobbly, soft, slow piece of shit.
I didn't know where that was going.
They're just horrible. They're horrible to drive. Anyone that says a stock MX-5 is good to drive, you've not driven a good car. Go and drive anything else and you'll realize it's not.
That was also a really good argument when we met Matt, who helped us out with the coolant pipes. There was just, I spoke to Jay about this behind. I said, can you film this, please? Because you were walking off into the distance and it was just, but they are good cars. They're just not, though, are they? They're just shit cars. And he's going, yeah, but what about this one? No, that's shit. So I said, it is inevitable. It is somehow inevitable that when that conversation comes up, there is an argument.
There's always an argument. Yeah. MX-5 people, they like to throw hands the moment. It's the best car in the world.
So any MX-5?
Any MX-5. Fair. No, it was just I was excited and I drove it and I went, this isn't it. This wasn't what it was cracked up
this
to
ain't
be.
It, Chief.
I looked at my one and went, you're still special to me, I guess.
You're the first.
And yours?
Surely
you've had some because you don't have like an emotional attachment to cars.
Try not to.
Because
I do very briefly.
But that's smart because then you see cars for what they are.
Yeah. I do very briefly and then as soon as I've lost interest, you can go. E46.
M3, your cab.
Cab.
Yeah.
Not that there was nothing really wrong with it. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
I think I only had it for 6 months, but it was like a month in. It started badly because I had to fix loads of bits, but like nothing awful. And then, but even when it was all done, I was like, I just don't like this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was.
What about your 7 series?
Which one?
Your E38. Because that was not a you car.
No, it didn't feel like me.
But you liked it.
But I did like it.
Yeah.
But again, I didn't like it because it wasn't nice, if you know what I mean?
It wasn't a nice car.
And I kept looking at it going, this is going to cost thousands. And that car wasn't necessarily worth, you know, putting that much money into. You could just go and buy a nicer one.
Yeah.
So I liked it, but it was good it did a job for a while.
Mm.
And it was nice to own. But yeah, definitely 46 cab was...
Benjamin?
Whack.
Car I've owned I don't like.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Renault Clio 182.
A3.
BMW.
It's A3.
Is it the A3?
Yeah, it's just a car.
Now, how much of that was affected by the reaction when you bought it from us?
So it didn't help. Yeah. No, I think... It's just not a good car.
Okay.
It served the purpose as a car. If my nan drove it, she'd probably like it.
She'd go, this is shit. She'd go, I paid $5,000.
She'd go, why don't you buy 2 litre diesel, you idiot?
No, it just wasn't. It's just a car.
You know what, Ben, the car review?
Yeah.
So coming into this, it's a car.
The A3 is your villain origin story.
Yeah, it actually is. It's like, inside I liked it. It was nice. Relatively comfortable.
Christmas tree lights on the back. Just drove, only briefly
had that for about 4 months. just had no redeeming features. Sure was. It was mediocre in every sense.
Was it
quite nice looking, but it didn't look that nice. It drove quite nicely, but there are hatchbacks that are normal that drive better. The engine was like reliable, but wasn't reliable enough to like be worth being slow.
It was just, you know.
It's just a car.
It's just a car.
It's just a car. And it wasn't worth $5,000.
He says reluctantly.
And doesn't my bank account know about it?
Right, so that is one question answered. What's your double feature?
Double feature, it's not really, it's from a man with a fantastic name.
Here we go.
This is Hector Lopez Valido.
Ooh, I know who that is. Anyway.
You know him?
I spoke to him on the phone many years ago. He just started doing Instagram stuff. He used to do like social media stuff and he called, anyway.
Would love to hear what you guys do whilst on your long commutes. It's crazy how far Will and Ben drive to work every day. What do you actually do to keep you entertained whilst driving?
I learned German on mine. It's a big thing.
I actually write novels.
Well, Will's actually recently left the gang and now he lives nearby. Nice.
Well, he doesn't live anywhere. No, okay. Homeless.
Homeless. Anyone got a house or anyone know anything about anything, let me know.
But okay. Will's no longer doing it. But when you were doing it, and to be fair, you were doing it every single day.
Yep.
So that's tough.
Yeah. So let's set it up. I'm not in this conversation. My commute is 35 to 40 minutes.
Although you have driven long distances.
Yeah.
Although maybe not over an extended period, but.
No, I just tend to do, like, I'll do big trips.
Old people down the stairs.
Very nice.
Anyway, what would you do?
On a long trip, I need, well, hold on. I think you guys should guess what you guys do. Okay. On each other's trip first.
Okay.
Will's quite happy with that one.
Can I guess Will's first? Can I guess Will's first?
Okay, go. Yeah.
Will likes to scream and shout at other road users and that keeps him entertained.
Now, I've got a point on this. I think road rage depends on the car you drive.
That's so fair.
I don't feel, if I'm in the Clio, this is not often, if I'm in a smaller car, I suddenly feel angry.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being wronged by everyone.
If I'm in the
Range Rover, I can get angry.
Yeah.
But even though I'm in a $4,000 Range Rover, but I still think, you know what? I'm actually pretty calm.
Get out of my way. I don't care.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Just move.
Get out of my way. Yeah. I'm not that bothered by
pulling up on a Rolls Royce. I'm better than you.
It's only when you see someone in a better Range Rover that you start to get angry. But that I believe. But I'm not. I'm actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're that. So, okay, what else is Will doing to pass his time? Every single day. So it's an hour 45 commute, basically, both of
you were
doing.
Where were you and how long did it take, roughly?
Is this the police?
for context for the viewers.
So I was made on the 15th of January.
To like roughly Reading. I think it was about 170, 180 mile round trip.
Okay. A day.
And how long did that take?
4 to 5 hours.
I think you're listening to audiobooks.
What sort of audiobooks?
They're self-help books.
Oh, I like
because
that.
Okay. Our job is quite full on. I think you need a little bit of that time to yourself.
It's not one of those.
Anything else?
Heavy metal to get your anger out.
Okay.
And I think you're trying out different motorway service stations and seeing what food they have.
I think you don't even know me at all. It's just all wrong. I can't stand services. I try my very best to avoid a service.
Okay, no, hold on. Before you reply, can we get what's Ben's?
Oh, yeah, Ben.
For context, I'm Bristol area to Reading. It takes me lovely 2 hours 50 in the morning, about 1 hour 50 on the way home. The traffic and what such.
Okay. Because
200 mile round
the
trip.
Wind's got you the other way.
More traffic, but yeah, sure.
Okay, you are.
Now,
I've seen your car. Yeah, fair. I've seen your car, and it is full of shit.
It's also
so you love a service station.
It's very lopsided.
I think what you're doing is bouncing down the motorway.
True.
So your car's full of shit.
What do you mean by shit?
Your footwell, Ben's footwells.
Yeah, your car is. It's
thing is, your car is clean, but you just throw things into the footwell. Yeah.
If I finish like a can of Coke, what am I doing with a can of Coke?
I feel like it's not even things you had pockets. In the car. It's like you've had it in the house and you bring it to the car to throw it in the footwell.
Throwing it at like other road users.
Other people, you just go, do you want to throw that away? Yeah, just chuck it down there.
He's got dirty plates and things in there that he's brought in from the house. Steve, it's a wet towel.
It's been an issue the entire time I've been driving in every car I've had.
Yeah,
it's not the fact that I like. Eat excessive food or drink excessive drinks in the car and then leave the rubbish in the car. It's that I just don't empty it enough.
Okay.
So
so you
like a service station?
No. Right.
That's not true because you would update us in the morning.
No, you can't.
The what do you mean we can't, Ben? Not on the podcast.
Ben likes to go to the toilet. Ben likes to take his morning dump. Yeah. In a very particular
in Lee Delamere.
Like
oh wait, which one is it?
It is Lee Delamere. Lee Delamere westbound. No, eastbound.
Yeah.
Find me in there about 7:30.
So you're in the services. You've
or done or Chievely back in the day.
It's off the motorway though. It's not convenient. You've had a carry night before. You've got to come off the motorway.
You've left a deposit in the services.
Not always, not anymore. But you still. Not anymore.
But then also you will also buy something from said services.
Depends how much time I've got.
A little snack and a drink.
Oh,
it's moderately healthy.
Mm. Oh, interesting. What am I
buying?
It's
got vitamins in it. Perhaps it's like how you say it's some kind of fruit based item or like a fiber protein
granola
based
bar,
item,
perhaps.
Something like that. Yeah, it's like start my day.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what your journey? You try to be as gleeful as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you try to keep the journey happy.
Yeah.
The music is very jolly.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not?
It's not. I like to podcast quite big in the car and make phone calls as well.
Are you listening to the Cream podcast, the most successful podcast in the
sometimes
world?
Sometimes I do actually. Sometimes when we get sent the draft edit for the Cream thing, I listen to that.
Wow, Ben listens to his own podcast.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
So I can make notes.
Crazy. That's what makes him shit.
Wow.
So you're a podcaster. You're a podcaster.
I like to podcast on the way here and then music on the way home.
Ben the Piper guy to be on a podcast right now.
Just so I have something to listen to in the car.
I reckon you sing.
Oh,
that's quite tough to hear.
That's tough.
You're a big singer.
No.
Only morning singer. Mm. And only if you're feeling sort of moderately, you know, 50% plus happy.
Ben, open your soul. Be completely honest.
Okay.
Natasha Bedingfield's on. Are you singing or are you not? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, but that's my song, man. Am I getting hyped up before a big day?
So you're a singer?
No, not always, but...
not I reckon no. You are on the motivate. You are... you're a sunroof open.
Oh, that's interesting.
You see, I've only had the car since winter, so I haven't had the opportunity to do that.
Okay. I think windows down motorway people are slightly odd.
It is interesting because you're at such speed. Blustery. Yeah, you're at such speed that it's not it can't run.
It's a big hair ruiner of all sorts.
Yeah. So, okay. It's all quite accurate, unfortunately.
So in reality, can we get, what's your reality, Ben?
Reality is...
140 down the fast lane. Sorry, the third lane.
100... More than that, at least. No, it's realistically, I like to listen to a little podcast on the way here.
Okay.
Because it's 2 hours here, I can usually get a whole one done.
What are you listening to?
That's the secret I'll keep between myself. Ooh. It depends
on the
Auto
Alex podcast.
It actually depends on
it's Natasha Bedingfield. He calls it a podcast.
It's on loop.
It's a great song.
These.
That's what we listen to in the car. Anyway, a little podcast on the way here. On the way back, I make and some phone calls. On the way home, I make some phone calls. And
sorry, have you got day trader Ben? go for Ben. The NASDAQ's looking bad today. Let's get some.
I was saying this to them earlier. I've recently been upgrading my car, which is that my like center Apple CarPlay screen is an aftermarket Chinese one. It's very bad for like hands-free. So I've recently been putting a pair of AirPods in my car. Please don't break into my car and nick them. Well, I have one in my ear when I'm driving, which I don't know if it's illegal or not sometimes, but if I'm on the phone, it's a game changer. But I do feel like I'm like trading. Like I'm like, go for bed.
Yeah. So I think what we'll do is we'll get the airbag on the back right of the X5 fixed.
Are you off sick today? Oh, could you come in? She's dead. Okay. See you this afternoon. Okay. All right. AirPods in, podcast on.
And then, occasionally off phone call. And then that on the way home, it's the same thing with music.
And you're on the cruise?
Same thing.
You're on the cruise? You're always on the cruise. There are people out there that have cruise. I know this is a big thing. This isn't like a few people. Lots of people have cruise and they don't use it. What? You're not on cruise?
Not most of the time.
That's mental.
I would say I only use it like 25% of the time.
That's insane.
That's wild.
Average speed checks.
The
and
moment.
Sometimes if I'd like to cruise at 70.
Yeah, but okay, but that's, there is a difference which between dry. Yeah, but okay, that's what I'm saying. If you're trying to get through traffic.
I ain't using cruise.
Then I can kind of understand. Yeah. But I'd say most of the time I'm on cruise.
I'm driving
with the cruise. I'm using the buttons to accelerate and slow down.
I quite like that.
I love that.
That's why I would like a radar cruise.
That's cool.
Because then it's, I'm just not driving.
Set it to 200.
Feet off up. You go. I think I have a cigar.
Okay, now Will, what's your?
It's mixed. I don't listen to podcasts at all, ever. I've tried. Every now and then I will. I might listen to something not car related, something rant. I might listen to a podcast every sort of bi-monthly.
Now I have to hold you here, because the reason I didn't want to talk about my stuff yet is because both of you have admitted to driving without anything sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
great. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now that I cannot understand.
No.
You're just driving in silence.
It's great. No, it's not in silence though.
What do you
have
mean?
Your own thought.
I have the crushing weight in my own thoughts.
This is crazy.
It's like being on the toilet and you can just be there. Like, have you ever been on the toilet for a two without your phone?
Yeah.
All the time. The thoughts that you get.
Yeah, but that's not...
Shower thoughts, poo thoughts, and then motorway silence thoughts.
Nah, motorway silence thoughts is not... That's because it's just dull. It's monotony. Whereas a toilet is some me time. It's to yourself.
I get frustrated. So I like to be in silence on the motorway, and I think about things, then you can't do anything about it because you're driving, and it just makes you drive faster. So you can get to a place to stop. Sometimes I think about stopping at services, so I can like write things down or do something and then continue. But then I don't want to do that.
It's a cry for help.
Yeah. Because then it delays my journey.
So have you any idea where I stopped you today? Man, I've just been thinking.
Also,
I just got these thoughts.
I got these thoughts and I got to get to my destination.
So you're doing 130 miles an hour.
Also, you're telling me that your thoughts are so crushing in your mind that they make you want to drive faster. That's worrying.
No, it's not. It's not that they make me want to drive faster like that. It's that I need to...
You're a creative thinker.
I have to keep them in my head. Otherwise, I know by the end of my journey, someone will say anything and they're done. They're gone. I've got to wait till the next motorway journey.
He's always chasing the last one.
It's either that or I'm just blaring apps, like blaring music.
That's what I'm loud. That's where I'm at.
That's fantastic.
I'm the volume's up.
I'm a big sound system enjoyer.
Yeah, I wish I had a good sound system. It makes me want to get...
That makes everything better.
Yeah. I'm the guy next to you at the lights where you can just hear...
Crazy, no. Crazy.
That's me.
Can't. That's my biggest pet peeve. If I'm in the car and I'm playing music relatively loudly and when I get to lights, I got to turn it down.
That's so Ben.
I can't. Every time.
The neighbours will notice.
And my girlfriend always says to me, because we're in the car listening to something and then I get to the lights and all you hear is get quieter and quieter. You look over and just spanning the steering wheel. You know, I can't be seen to be just there. Also, how can you sit there a straight face when there's someone next to you, just like this, listening, with your hands on the steering wheel, listening to...
One hand on the steering wheel.
One on the steering wheel. Listening to just...
That was the least natural thing I've ever seen.
Just listening to your banging tunes.
Yeah,
because I'm in my car.
Yeah, it's my car. Don't care.
No, I don't.
You know, I would never do it with my windows down. I'm not blasting the music as loud.
Also, not, you know, you're ruining the noise.
What?
Windows up, you're containing the noise.
Oh, wow. I mean, you're literally moving in the noise.
I had to raw dog the journey in the Corsa. The Corsa doesn't have a radio.
Yeah, that I can't stand. That the Starlet had disconnected to my phone. I couldn't work out how to do it. I looked up an instruction manual before we left. So I could get music.
Because it is better with music.
All of yesterday when we were driving, I had 90s drum and bass and like 90s club tunes on. Because I was like, this fits.
Get in the mood.
Also, here's a question. We're getting long in the tooth on this question. Do you match songs or whatever you're listening to vibe of what you're driving or doing?
Depends. In the Range Rover, I reckon I can listen to pretty much anything.
That's fair.
I'm pretty good with that. When I had that E38 before... It was hip-hop. Mostly 90s hip-hop.
See, that to me is one of the most beautiful automotive things ever.
Yeah.
That a sound can match the car.
Yeah.
I've talked about it before, but my 8 Series, I'm listening to Kavinsky. I'm following up with that synth 80s because it is, everything was perfect down to the last detail.
Although, bone to pick here. This isn't to do with commuting. This is just driving. You listen to music when driving.
Well, that's... Sometimes I will turn it off.
To elaborate on that, what I mean is going for a blast.
Well, I mean...
A little B-road bash or something.
The name of the playlist is Are We Driving?
Are We Driving? Driving?
Yeah, I will sometimes, yeah.
See, but that I can't do.
Because of games. But here's another one. This is a shocking revelation. Will turns off the sound in car games.
Get rid of it.
It is mental. There are so many good...
My exhaust is enough, actually.
There are so many good... songs from game, like also songs that I wouldn't usually listen to. They might even stray into like metal.
Would you listen to music on a track day?
No, because I'm trying to be aware.
I think that could be psychotic.
I don't want to crash into someone else because I had an behind me. I'm like,
I want to see what happens if you like just play music to an F1 driver. Do they get faster?
They go, or... get off my radio.
Detach a bedding field.
Bed on the F1 track.
I love you. I love you.
What's the fastest music to listen to? The fastest. Surely it's got to be some sort of rock or something. Or drum and bass.
I think drum and bass actually has to be it. Because like heavy metal is too distracting. Yeah. Whereas drum and bass just going, that's sick.
After a while, it becomes quite overwhelming if I'm going for a little blast and it's too much to think about.
And you've got Natasha Bedingfield. Have you ever gone for a hoon and listened to Natasha Bedingfield?
Thank you so much for watching the cars. Just for the record, I'm not a Natasha Bedingfield fan. I like that one song.
Sorry. You're not, of
Unwritten,
you
the greatest song ever written, Ben, ironically.
You are. Ben, you're a fan.
Ben's a big fan.
I wouldn't recognise her in the street. Probably.
It's just not true.
Our batteries are getting low on our camera, so we're going to wrap up this podcast pretty soon. But before we end, we have to end on a Carspiracy because we love them and we've got a few. Will?
Now, Carspiracy. I have a conspiracy, not a car conspiracy, but a highways agency one. Now, I did say specifically cars, but anyway. The reason there are always roadworks and nobody doing any work is because at some point, the highways agency had a graduate or something doing an order for the cones and they accidentally added too many zeros to the order. So now they constantly have to put the cones out somewhere. Otherwise they will have to pay for storage and they don't want that. So they just put the cones out on the road for free.
Wow. The
kind of balls up I could imagine happening.
Yeah. In England. And then for someone not to go return them, they go, well, I've got an idea.
Could just put them on the M4.
Stick them out. Meanwhile, every warehouse in the UK is...
We'll put them out, and then tomorrow, we'll go and get them.
Yeah. Bring them in, boys. They've been out long enough.
And then put them somewhere else.
I'm going to call that. I mean, it's not real.
It's not real.
But also, but could say plausible.
But possibly only in England.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's an English conspiracy.
Yeah.
I've always wondered where the cones are kept. Like, there's so many of them. Whenever that goes merging in 800 yards, wherever it is,
yeah,
it goes, all those cones. The only thing I think about is where all these cones coming from.
You know, they're free.
They're in that lorry.
You can take them.
Yeah, every uni student has one. It's very original.
That's where they get them.
Yeah,
they make them in the lorry where there's a man standing on the side. Yeah. It's just created.
It's going in that.
But where are the cones being stored?
No, they don't.
Do they dissolve in the rain?
It eats it afterwards. When they collect it, they put it back in and it gets mulched.
That's actually a great idea.
And they just make a new cone.
That's a £1 million.
There's just cone juice in the truck, and it crafts it because a cone. That's easy.
Yeah, it's just a little shape. Yeah. Just a little triangle.
It's like a Mr. Whippy, you know, like a waffle cone.
I don't know what to say to that.
I'm going to call that plausible.
Yeah, fine. Deal.
Sounds. And we're going to wrap it up. But thank you very much for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Make sure you drop your forum questions and your Carspiracies in the comments. We will see you next week. Cars rule everything around me. Green, get the money.